Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. You just heard Minister Farrakhan said, in order for us to achieve freedom, we must get control and have land. Well, tonight we're going to talk about one of the ways that we can get control and get land. And to do that, we have to pool our resources. So we have our wonderful guest host, our first time guest host for tonight, Brother Dwayne from Peoria, Illinois. He's going to have his guests, Brother Henry and Sister Kishanda from Rockford. And I'm going to bring Brother Dwayne on right now. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Dwayne.
Well, alaykum salam, sir. Thank you, Brother
Yes,
Carson.
Sir, we are. Oh, I'm fine, brother. We're excited. Excited to have you on, brother, and come on strong with such a dynamic duo guest as you have. So we're excited for this show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So let me go ahead and see if Brother Henry and Sister Kishanda are on. Brother Henry and Sister Kishanda, if you're on the line right now, please press the 1 on your keypad, and we will bring you into the show, okay?
And Brother Carson, they have another guest that's up on. He's going to need to be brought in.
All right. And let's see. I think we got them in now. We got 6178. Who is 6178?
That's Brother Henry.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
And we also have 3548. Who is 3548?
That's Sister Kishanda.
As-salamu alaykum, ma'am.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Okay, and who is the third person, Brother Henry? Brother Dwayne?
His name is A. Baker Donahue.
Brother Donahue, if you're on the line, press the 1 on your keypad so we can bring you in. Okay, I think he's here. Is this Brother Donahue? 8-8-5-5-6-4. Caller with 8-8-6. Let's see, hold on. 8-5-6-4.
Yes, it's Brother Donahue. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. So, Brother Henry, I'm sorry. Brother Dwayne, looks like we got everybody on, so I'm gonna hand the show over to you.
Well, thank you. You know, first I'd like to give the greetings to everybody, all our listening audience. So, assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. And I also like to thank Brother Carlson for giving me the opportunity to host tonight's show and bring on this powerful couple that we had on before, Brother Henry and Sister Keyshonda out of Rockford, Illinois. They're doing some mighty things up there in Rockford, and we're going to get a chance to let them speak about it. And Brother Henry, are you on?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
And Brother Henry, would you do me a big favor and introduce your guest that you brought with you and tell us a little something
Absolutely.
About him?
Absolutely. Well, we have with us a mighty guest tonight. It's a brother who I'm honored to have on the call with us tonight. I actually saw him on a podcast, and I told my wife, I said, we have to meet this brother, and this brother is doing such phenomenal work, and it's so in line and in tune with our core goals and beliefs and things that we were striving to do that I said, by any means, we got to meet this brother. So as time would have it, we were able to connect, and brother has a beautiful spirit. Definitely, he's a CPA. He's a professor at Morehouse. He's big into real estate. He's a CEO, entrepreneur, author. There's so many accolades I could give, but I'm very excited to have this brother on with us tonight, and that is a brother, A. Donahue Baker.
Well, greetings, Mr. Donahue Baker. Is that what I'm saying, right?
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother.
All righty. Well, Brother Henry and Sister Keyshonda, I know last time we had you on the call here, you was talking about credit union. You know, we just listened to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about us pooling our resources. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he let us know in message to the black man, I think he on page 171, where he said, you know, we need to spend your money amongst yourselves. And point 11, build an economic system amongst yourselves. That's a wonderful piece. He gave us an economic blueprint. So y'all was talking to us about building up a credit union. And I said to myself, who thinks about building up a credit union? Well, I was thinking Brother Henry and Sister Keyshonda, if there's two people who thinking about building up a credit union, it's you two. So if you want to, y'all, could y'all tell us a little bit more at what made you start thinking about building up a credit union?
Sister Keyshonda, you want to go or you want
to? Sure. Brother Dwayne, thank you again, and you and Brother Carlton, thank you all for giving us the opportunity to speak on your podcast and just giving us a voice. We really appreciated last time, and we really appreciated this time. So thank you so much. We thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for being who he is in our community and for being the reason that we're here today. You know, I would not be here today were it not for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So thank you to our brother, our leader, our teacher. So the idea to start a credit union started just from our teachings. The messenger told us to pool our resources and to strive to build wealth within our own community, to shop with your brother before you shop with another. And so as entrepreneurs and as business owners, one of our biggest obstacles and struggles in life was that we had to find a way to build capital to be able to start our small business. And by capital, I mean liquid financial cash, right? And so we were like, what if we had an opportunity to start a credit union, so then that way we can use that credit union as the foundation to help other people build wealth and to build capital so that they can start businesses, so that we can bring about what the messenger said, which is building businesses and economic growth within our community. And so we started on that journey to start a credit union. And along that journey, of course, we did a lot of research. We connected with other people within our community locally and nationally. And Allah blessed us the opportunity to meet A. Donahue Baker. And so along our journey, you find out there's nothing new under the sun. And so Allah said, you're working hard to build this credit union, but let me drop this brother on you right quick, because he has a wealth of knowledge. So you've done all this legwork, right? Allah, put it on us to do all the work to build this credit union. He said, oh, by the way, here's a black man who already has in place what you're striving to build. He doesn't just have it in place in the idea, because we were kind of in the idea stage, but he actually has the physical bank that is national, that is what you want to do. So he put and he blessed my husband and I to be able to meet A. Donahue Baker, a brother who already has a banking institution in place. And not only does he have a banking institution in place, but he shares some of the same values and ideas of what we want to do with the credit union. He already shares those ideas. He wants to make black millionaires. He wants to build wealth in the black community. He wants to create other black entrepreneurs. He wants to help entrepreneurs who are currently, working in the communities right now. He wants to help those entrepreneurs to grow so that they can help other entrepreneurs. And so one of the greatest blessings that we've had along this journey was Allah putting someone in our life who shared our vision, who was much farther along in the journey than we were, right? I would actually like to turn over the mic to Brother A. Donahue Baker so that he can share what he's already created. We had an idea. He brought it into life. He brought it into fruition, and he can tell you much more about the bank that he's already established, not the credit union that we're trying to establish, right? And so I would if you don't mind, give that opportunity to A. Donahue Baker, because he can take it away and tell everyone about the bank that he already has established.
Well, I tell you what, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to pull our resources, education, and qualifications for independence. So, Mr. Donahue, or Donahue Baker, are you on the call here?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I mean, Sister Keyshonda, she just really spoke you up to the point where I'm looking for my notebook and my pen, ready to take some notes. And I hope everybody else on the call is also looking and trying to grab their notebook, or you know how we do it. We write on the back of an envelope if we have to. So, brother, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit more about this banking institute that you have.
Sure. My name is A. Donahue Baker. I'm the CEO and co-founder, and really blessed to have met Brother Henry and Sister Keyshonda. The thing about it is that our, from the time we met, our missions were so much aligned. So it was a really just to me, it was just like a blessing just to find someone that is so aligned mentally and connected to the community as hard as they are. So with our institution, what I set out to do was build a bank that did special things for our community, right? Particularly the black and brown community. That's really our focus. And the things that we do, what makes us different, is just our bank is built on six principles. And we help people go through these six levels. Ultimately, the goal is to build wealth and pass that wealth on to your children, generational wealth. That's really what we're trying to establish. So I'll run through the levels so you can see exactly what we're trying to do. The very first level that we try to do is number one, come into our institution. You can sign up, we offer a regular checking or savings account. Either can be done through your personal or through your business. But the whole idea is at that level, we have a budgeting app, shows you how to budget your money. We have free curriculum that shows you how to not only, we feel that in this country, at this particular point in time, this is one of the most wealthiest countries in the history of mankind. So we believe that everyone should be able to have a certain threshold of wealth. And that number we call 100, we believe everybody should be aiming for at least a minimum $100,000, right, a year annually, right? And to be able to do that, to control that within your household, to be bringing that much money into your household. That is our first level, yeah. Level one. Call that being a thousandaire, right? That's just the term that everyone should be able to bring $100,000 into their household and lead their household, right? The next level, level two, is the minister talked on it before, owning land, right? So me personally, as the founder of this institution, one of the ways in which I was able to get the money up to invest into the institution was through real estate. I'm a real estate developer. I own over 500 units in three different states, but I was able to do it starting by living the rent-free lifestyle, and that's what we focus on at level two. We have special lending products to get people into homes. That is really the key, owning something and being able to control the land that you live on, right? So for me personally and through the bank, the way that I was able to do it was what we call kind of like house hacking, right? So we have special lending products. If you can particularly buy a multifamily home before you buy a single family home, we have special lending products for you. So we can get you into a multifamily at a fraction of what a typical bank could do it. The reason why we're able to do that is because we're able to use the rental income, 100% of the rental income, to qualify you for financing. And that way we want more and more people to own their homes, and we want them to purchase a multifamily first and then go on and purchase more real estate subsequently. That's level two. Level three is the point in which the minister talks about it a lot. It is the economics, it's business, it's understanding what is going on in our system. And right now we ask you at level three to bring your personal credit score to 720, lock it, live exclusively through your business. I learned this because I'm also a CPA, and one of the ways in which I saw many people get tremendous amount of wealth is to understand the system. And one of the ways in which they do it is through LLC. So we ask you to lock 720, live exclusively through your LLC. If you're able to do that, what you will realize is that everything you do in life can be written off in taxes, right? So
yeah,
prime example that I give, and I talk a lot about people that have really exploited the system and taken it to the next level. We need to be unapologetic and understand that these same options are available to us as well. So one of the people that I've researched and studied was our ex-president Donald Trump, who has over 500 LLCs. And one of the reasons why he has so many LLCs is because he's really mastered this business credit landscape and utilizing a separate legal entity to leverage it to get financing. So what we do is we want to show people how to do the same thing. So what we do at Money Avenue is for every LLC that you have, we get you $50,000 of business credit that is not attached to your personal credit profile, right? And in that way, we can create more creators. That's the end result, to create more creators, which will eventually lead to more entrepreneurs and more real estate developers. That's level three. At level four, while you're building out your business, improving the concept of your business, the $50,000 should do just that, prove the concept of your business. But once you prove the concept of your business, the next goal is to scale. Now, through our banks, and if you have 2 years tax returns, we can help you get up to $1 million of business credit once you have established your business, once you have 2 years tax returns. That is level four. in brief, in one sentence, the goal at level four is literally to go out and get $1 million in debt, but not $1 million in commercial debt, $1 million in buying assets that pay you to own them, like mortgages, like apartment buildings, like land, like farmland, everything that can be transferred on and accumulate in terms of generational wealth. And that's our two key areas, focusing on real estate, focusing on business, entrepreneurship. So at level four, the idea is to do that. Go out and get $1 million in debt. At level five, the debt that you created at level four will turn into equity. So when we say go out and get $1 million in debt, we want you to get the debt that pays for itself, right? Multifamily, apartments, things that pay over time, right? So that debt that you've accumulated will turn into equity, and that is net worth. And that is how we create and turn thousandaires into millionaires. It's that simple process of buying assets, leveraging them with debt, and then over time, the debt turns into equity. And that is brings us to our final level, which is level six, the wealth that you've created in your life, the wealth that you've created going through level one through five. At level six, what we do is we want to pass that wealth on to your children, pass that on to your heirs. And we do that through a number of different ways. We do that through setting up a trust. I'll tell you what I did. I have a three-year-old son now, but when he was two, I bought a six-unit apartment building in Newark, New Jersey. That six-unit apartment building, through a trust, is in my son's name, and it's going to do two things for him. Number one is by the time when he turns 18, he's going to have at least enough money to do whatever he wants. He can pull equity from this property, and it would pay for it, whether he chooses to go to college, whether he chooses not to go to college, whether he chooses to open a business. He's going to have enough equity to pull from that property to give him a great start. That's the first thing. The second thing is it's going to do is it's going to allow him to really, really focus on his God-given talents, passions, and whatever he wants to do in life. It's going to give him that option to say, well, look, I have a monthly income, and I don't have to take a job I don't want to take. Going to allow him to have at least a baseline of income. So that is my gift of generational wealth to him. But we're all capable of doing this, passing generational wealth on to our children and ultimately our children's children. But this is what we need to think about. It's a framework. It's a mentality that we have to have. And this is why I started this institution, to start that process. Starting from simply budgeting in level one, going all the way up to level six and creating wealth and passing wealth on to the next generation. And hopefully that can be the start of breaking the cycle of poverty, because I believe that poverty only exists because of lack of creativity. So when you have creative minds, when you have intelligent minds, when you have people that believe in group economics, pooling their resources, passing information on from generation to generation, things change. And this is what I want this institution, this bank, to be. All things financial, to help us make the most economic impact that we possibly can make. I know it's a little long-winded, but
That's all right, my brother. Well, now I understand why my brother Henry and sister Keyshawn is always talking about building their wealth. They did cover two, so boy, they really got them on something. I know brother Henry and sister Keyshawn, brother Henry was telling me that Mr. A. Baker, he was, or was it Baker Donahue? Donahue Baker? I'm getting it right.
Yes.
The best your name up a little bit. But you say he was key in helping you get your entrepreneur school open up for the children. And could you tell me what happened there?
Yes, sir. So from the last time we were on this show until now, my wife and I, one of our business ventures that actually while we were building the credit union was also in effect, we had started a school, a private school, grades kindergarten through high school for entrepreneurs. So all the children who attended our school had to start a small business, and then every child also had to publish a minimum of one book a year, right, because there's no book, no brand. So in the midst of doing that, our school, of course, with COVID coming about, our school actually took a turn where we, through going virtual, began to attract students from all across the country. So even now we have students in Houston, Detroit, Wisconsin, Atlanta, of course, Illinois. We're in Rockford, but of course, Chicago, and we're ever growing. And so one of the beautiful things that came about is when we were learning the information, of course, we were looking for, you know, how can we establish a credit union that also would help. But in this instance of this school began to grow in popularity in ways that I just could not imagine. Due to the popularity of the school growing, we were able to come into contact with many people who had great skills. So you heard our brother A. Donahue Baker talk about the six levels that his banking institution teaches people, and that fell right in line with what it is that we were teaching at the school, because we want all of our children to start small businesses and become published authors. So at the current time, not every student, because we keep getting new students, but the majority of our students currently are published authors, right? So, for example, I have a student who's making about $1,000 a week selling books. Well, we ran into the issue of, well, now that we showed you how to make money, because we know the black community, what are you going to do with the money once you make it? Because
right.
We know from looking that rims, we know that PlayStation 5, we know that, you know, Seagram's Gin, we know that the weed man, we know everybody's going to get paid, but the money going out of the community, not being in the community because we get money and don't know how to use it or don't know what to do with it. So financial literacy and education when it comes to what to do with the money, how to grow the money, how do you build generational wealth, it just fit in perfectly. So our school at this point, it's really become something bigger than ourselves. It's just phenomenal, and it's based on the principle that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to do for self, and literally it's teaching us to do for self. So we have published authors in our school as young as 4 years old, and we just picked up a one-year-old client. So we'll see how that works out.
Okay.
They're not even old enough to come to the school yet. Said, hey, listen, we want to put our child in your school. Can you help our child start writing a book at 1 year old? I said, all right, well, maybe some communication things where we can work on it. But long story short, that's the connection right there. I don't know if Sister Keshonda wants to add anything on.
I'll give her a chance. But I tell you though, brother,
no,
go ahead, sister.
No, I don't. I just want to say amen, Ashe, to A. Donahue Baker and what Brother Henry said.
All right. Yeah, I know. I understand it fully. I've done volunteer work for Junior Achievement in the high schools, and both of them was on economics and business planning. And you get a lot of the 16, 17-year-olds, when you start talking about balancing a checkbook or interest, they don't even want to hear it. But, you know, it's definitely something that we need to get into our babies' minds, because y'all talking about passing on the wealth. Well, you know, we can't pass on the wealth to somebody who get it in. They can't pass it on to theirs. So definitely we got to rear our children.
You know,
right.
Brother Duane,
our children in the right way.
There's another benefit. We have not had a semester of school where all of our children didn't make honor roll. And so what that tells me is that, now, mind you, we teach, of course, there's a core curriculum, of course. They got to learn math, science, you know, all the common core curriculum, they have to learn that. But we also teach the students black history every month. We also give them a weekly or a lot of times more than weekly, we have guest speakers who look like them, who sound like them, who come from places where they come from. And for the majority of our, what's the buzzword, urban? For the majority of our urban students, it allows them now to break this, what they call generational curse that Juwanza Kinjuku spoke about in his book, Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, where he pointed out that black boys in particular, when they hit the fifth grade, all of a sudden they go from being straight A students to not being focused in school. Well, here we have shown through proof of concept that children, boys and girls, can focus and fly through school because we have children in our school. Our school creates a system where a child can finish more than one grade in 1 year. So, for example, my daughter, her age-wise, she should be in the fifth grade, but she's almost through the seventh grade going into the eighth grade. And she's not the only one. We have this story over and over. So what it shows me is that how you educate children is important. Just this week, children said to me, I've never had a black male teacher until we came to your school, and it means a lot to them. So to have someone that can relate and not judge the children because they have a do-rag on, or not judge the children because, you know, how they're dressed, and also to teach children with love, that, you know, love is an ingredient that you can't go to school and get a degree for. Either you got love for the people you teach or you don't. And when you add that into the mix, you start finding that these babies are brilliant. And so, you know, yeah, outside of entrepreneurship and authorship, you also have this combination where these children are working like scholars. So that, I just wanted to add that in.
Okay. Brother Carlton, I know we're going in, and we're going to really get back and start talking some more on this financial wealth
yes,
building.
Sir.
But, Brother Carlton, could you let us know if there's anyone that like to ask a few questions?
Well, you heard it, brothers and sisters. You should be excited. We have an opportunity. We are hearing from a brother that's willing to share his financial knowledge, and we have an example of a mighty couple that's taking that knowledge and making a wonderful school and business with it. And this is a rare opportunity for you, brothers and sisters, to get your question answered. If you have a question you would like to ask one of our guests, or if you have a comment, please press the 1 on your pad and we will bring you into the conversation. So you can go ahead, Brother Dwayne. I'll let you know when somebody comes on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brother Carlton. You know, Brother
Henry,
you hit it.
Oh, we got somebody just that quick.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Caller with the last 4 digits, 8164. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. My name is Alicia Coffey, and I'm calling from Powder Springs, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm actually Dwayne's little sister. So I'm glad I was able to join on the call today. But my question is, is there a website, or where do you go to sign up for an account as far as starting at level 1? Is that something that you can do anywhere, or is it just in the location that you're at?
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, so you can sign up at Bank, B-A-N-K. Money, M-O-N-E-Y, AVE.com. You can sign up there, and you can get, literally, it's a free account. It's a free account with some benefits. So when you open up an account there, you could have, like, let's say you have a job and you get your paycheck. Typically, you get paid on Friday. You actually can get your check 2 days earlier. So your check will be available on Wednesday. In addition to that, there's no minimum balance on our accounts, right? There's no monthly fees. Every single month, the big banks, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, TD Bank, Citigroup, they make over $1 billion every single month charging you fees. We want to disrupt that. We want to stop that. So our bank is available in all 50 states. Wherever you are in the country, you can do business with our accounts, right? So we have a personal account there and also a business account. What's so special about our business accounts? Well, our business accounts, number one, are low fee, right? So that's one thing. But we also, if you have a business, to encourage you to get a business, we offer merchant processing, right? So we have a merchant processing with our accounts. What does that mean? If you have a business, you know, you want to accept credit cards. So we allow you to accept credit cards through the account as well. That's a feature that you won't see anywhere else. It's a unique feature, one of the first 100% black-owned payroll processing banks on the market. So moneybankmoneyav.com is the website. And definitely, you know, share it and tell a friend.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Bankmoney.com?
Bankmoneyav. So it's bankmoneyav, A-V-E, moneyavenue.com. Money Avenue is the name of the company, so it's Money Ave is the website. So it's bankmoneyav.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yep, great. And also, I forgot to mention, just because some people, it's an issue, so I wanted to definitely mention, our bank accounts are 100% FDIC insured, up to $250,000. And what that means is basically up to $250,000, you're insured for everything that you put in and deposit. You know, where our goal is to compete with the big boys, Chase, the institutions that are really been taking a lot out of our communities but haven't been putting enough in.
Right.
All right. Thank you for that call, Sister Alicia, and thank you for that answer, Brother Donahue. Brother Dwayne, we have another caller. Can I let them on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 9086. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Anthony Lofton. I'm calling from Monroe, Michigan. And I'm just calling to give a big shout out to Henry and Kashana. My daughter goes to their school, and they have given my daughter one of the best gifts that I've ever had a school give a child, and that's that book that they taught her how to write and publish. You know, that's something that's going to stay with her for the rest of her life. So I just wanted to, just emphasize the importance and the gratitude that I have to these two special people for giving my daughter that gift.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely. You know, I was reading out of Dr. Ridgely's book titled The Commonomics, Development of Post-Yakub Economy. And he was stated there in a portion on 10 steps to starting a credit union. And in one of those steps, he's mentioned that we need to get at least 500 potential customers. So my mind went to, do we just go out and go get 500 people who sign the thing and sign a little sheet saying that you would want to be a part of a credit union? But I'm seeing that, you know, it takes a lot more work to start that type of credit union. Brother Henry, if you don't mind, would you tell us some of the work that you actually have to do? Because I know you told me that you are almost complete with the process of starting the credit union. So could you just tell us a little more about what you did to actually start this credit union and where you're at right now in 2021?
Yes, sir. So on our end, brother, my wife being the studious researcher that she is from our past employment, we literally did all the research that was necessary. We contacted the state of Illinois. We found out there were some things we found out about credit unions that were pretty interesting. We found out that anyone can start a credit union. You don't need a lot of money. In Illinois, actually, there was a credit union that has about $40,000 in assets. I don't even know if it's liquid cash. They got about $40,000 in assets. They're open one day a month. And the only thing they have to have is a common bond to start a credit union. So for in our journey, we discovered that, you know, we have found a couple common bonds that would allow us to open a credit union. And to be honest, we got to a certain point where we were now pretty much we did all the paperwork, all the legwork. We went through stage one. There was three phases. We went through phase two. And then by the time we got to phase three, while working on other things, there were a few things that held it up for us, and it was not necessarily financial, nor was it the working, but we wanted to get the backing of the National Council because this was something we wanted to essentially gift or train and turn over. But in the midst of that, you know, like I stated earlier, you know, after meeting A. Donahue Baker and finding out what Money Ave Bank had to offer, you know, I don't personally believe that was something that I had a desire to pursue, because here we have something in our community that if we take advantage of it, it would accomplish the same goals that we were striving to accomplish. So I'm one of those who, as a student, if you see somebody has something that's what you were striving for,
don't try to, you know, in the black community, a lot of times we try to compete when it's not necessary. But rather than compete, right, we would be stronger if we joined on together in unity and backed what the brother already had and then take it to another level. So when I heard about it, I said, absolutely. And this is a brother we have to meet because what he's doing, how can we support it? How can we back it? What can we do to get the word out? Like, what can I do in my network, within my network, to help push that word out there? Because in helping him, we help ourselves. So
right,
that was my take on that.
Well, you know, brother, that's something that, you know, a lot of us brothers and sisters, you know, we fail to do. You know, we feel like we know so much, and we done did a whole bunch of research that I done got all the way here, and I see somebody with a little bit more or to help us out a little bit more. Sometimes we have to sit down and become a student. And I think that's why the minister said that's all why we got student in front of all our titles. Whatever you is, you're a student.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, Brother Dwayne, we got Dr. Ridgely on the line right now. Dr. Ridgely?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, sir.
Now, I heard somebody say something about the brother called in, said that you helped his daughter to write a book. What are some of the titles of the books and the type of things that your students are writing about?
Yes, sir. I pop up my book just because it's self-promotion. So I have a book for entrepreneurs called Free Jewels that is humor and knowledge, you know, for entrepreneurs in their starting phases. But I actually let my wife talk about it more because this is really one of her passions that she is very passionate about, our students, their books, and she also has a children's series herself. So I'll kind of let her dig into that one if she doesn't mind.
No, thank you, Dr. Rizzi, for your question. So all of our students' books are fictional stories right now. So we took our students on a journey, if you will, or they went through what we call their authorship class. And so the first one-third of their authorship class, our students had to learn about what is a story. They had to learn about characters and plots and themes and the plot roller coaster, rising action, falling action. So we taught them the foundation of what is a story. The second one-third of our school year, the students actually had to write their story. So we sat them down, and over the course of a couple weeks, we started to pull on their creativity. And so when we started this process, it was kind of bland. You know, our students just aren't used to doing something like this. And so the more we did it, the more we encouraged them, and the more that they understood that we really wanted them to write a story of their own. We wanted them to be as creative as they possibly could, you know, as long as it was moral and ethical and upright. They couldn't write a story about, you know, something bogus. But our students pulled on their creativity. They pulled from, you know, the video games that they play or other books that they have read or movies that they've watched or, you know, just things that they've daydreamed about or something that they read in their science book, and they were able to pull on their creativity and come up with their stories. And so our students have written stories about princesses that learn how to dance and living happily ever after with mom and dad. We had a student that wrote about Santa Claus being eaten by a big green goblin. We had a student that wrote about going on the adventures of the universe, right? So this story is about a black man who lives a boring life, and then all of a sudden he gets into a flying car, and his flying car takes him around the universe, and his car doesn't use gasoline. His car is powered by the melanin in the universe, right? So our students are pulling on the creativity. So they're learning about melanin and pigmentation in black history, and they took that and wrote about it in a story in such a creative way. Our students wrote about a detective series, a story about a book that's worth $1 million. This book is so valuable because the pages are written in diamond and gold, and so somebody stole the book, so they wrote a mystery novel. We had one of our older students that wrote a story about struggle and how do you overcome struggles in life. So Brother Anthony that just spoke, his daughter, one of our oldest students, wrote a story about a young lady who was out at a party, which is something that a lot of our young people can relate to, at a house party, and this particular young lady ends up getting shot. And so she doesn't die from that encounter, but she ends up in a wheelchair. And so before she got shot, she was like this big star. You know, she was a great athlete. And the story that Sydney ended up writing was about, how does this young lady overcome not being this athlete anymore? How does she overcome at 15 years old, not able to use her legs anymore? And so, I mean, there's a wide range of students that wrote books, and that was just the first 20. And we, our students published their books on February 26th, alhamdulillah. And since that time, we've had 8 new students join our school, and our goal is to get those 8 students' books published as well. And so I'm really excited, as those 8 new students that started on March 1st, they've been going through the same journey that our students went through. We had to tackle it all in 1 month. They didn't have a whole one-third of the semester and then another third to write, so we kind of had to push them to write their books. But their stories are turning out to be great. We had a young brother, he's 5 years old, and he wants to write a story about the journey of a prince becoming a king. And his story is about watching his father be a great mentor for him and teaching him how to be a king. Like, what a great story for a young black boy to idolize his father and to want to be a king, like what he sees in his own father. And so answer your question, our story, our children's stories range from princesses and fairies to, you know, struggles in life, to adventures in the universe, to mystery novels. I mean, they're just phenomenal stories.
And what about you, Sister Keyshana? Are you an author?
Yes, sir. I am an author. And so you can't teach a child to do something and then not do it yourself, right? Children do as you do, not as you say. And so I had to publish my own book before we published their book. And so I started a series called The Mathematician. And my book series is about twin brother and sister, Zakir and Zakira. And these twin brothers and sisters, they go on these mathematical journeys to defeat the number cruncher. And on their mathematical journeys, they're learning math as well as on their adventure. So their first adventure, they have to learn their addition facts from 0 to 12. They have to memorize those addition facts. And as they are able to memorize the addition facts, they defeat the number cruncher. But, of course, the number cruncher finds a way to crunch the subtraction facts. So in the second adventure, they have to learn their subtraction facts. So as your child or as your student learns their subtraction facts, then they're able to defeat the number cruncher again. And so this math series, it's been a blessing for me. It's been fun for me to write this series, and I'm going to continue to, inshallah, write mathematician books for the rest of my life, because, you know, math is infinite. So we can get, once we're done with calculus, we can get into, you know, maybe I can partner with A. Donahue Baker and we can start writing a book about finance and how do they calculate interest, right, and defeat the mathematician so they learn how to calculate interest. So it'll go on forever and ever. And so that's what my series is about.
Well,
right,
I think you should take over junior achievement.
Awesome.
Brother Cousin, we got anyone else in the queue?
Okay, let me make a comment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Number one, all of this is exciting. It's really, really, really great. And I'm gonna say why I see it like this. You know, when we came up out of slavery, all we knew was how to work. And we went to work. And what we knew mostly was farming. And by 1913, the enemy had studied us and realize that if you don't stop them from saving so much money and buying land, they're going to buy up the South. By that time, we'd owned, by 1910, we had 16 million acres of land. We had over 60 townships across the South. We had schools. We had hospitals. We were doing for self. So they came and they burned us out. They lynched us. They burned us out. And now we are consumers. And now we go to school. And in school, they train our minds to think in a way that we would be receptive to whatever plans they put out for us. I mean, wind up working for them. Now, what you're doing with the banking system, open up the knowledge of money and how it works in financing to just regular individual people so that they can actually grow and mature financially. And what you're doing with the students, Brother Henry and Sister and your wife's name. What's the wife's name?
Sister Keyshonda.
You are allowing their minds to work outside of the box, literally. And in doing so, they're going to find things out there that they are very interested in for their continued growth. So what you're doing is really, I call it a black hole in the whole thing. Because, you know, one thing we can think COVID-19 is really broke us away from a lot of this old world system. And now people are finding not only a new world system, but producing new world systems. So I'm very excited about what all of you all are doing. Continue the great work, and I hope people are listening. And make sure everybody, y'all give out the contact information for people to contact you for your school, contact your brother again for the bank, and any way that people can get in part of what you all are doing, because I think it's phenomenal.
Absolutely. Well, we will definitely give that contact information. For the school, and I think I might have mentioned this. No, I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but the school has a unique name, very unique. It's the only one, so you can't mix it. The school is called, it's pronounced Kika First, K-I-K-I, like Kiki, do you love me? K-I-K-I-F-E-R-S, Academy.org, KikaFirstAcademy.org. That is our school's website. On there you can find everything from all the information for the school is on there, as well as if any of the students who go to our school are in Illinois, we are currently working on a system with another 501c3 that will allow the majority of children who are low income to get a full ride scholarship to attend the school. And even if they're not, if they don't qualify for a full ride scholarship to attend the school, there's all types of tuition assistance and financing information on there to help get the children in. So that is available on there. And you can also email us at KikaFers, once again, KIKIFERS. I'm not sure what maybe Keyshonda knows the school, the actual school email. But I know we have one at gmail.com, KikaFirstAcademy@gmail.com.
Yes, it's K-I-K-I-F as in Frank, E-R-S, KikiFirstAcademy@gmail.com.
Okay.
And that's the same
and Brother Adrian U. Baker has
our Facebook page as well.
I'm sorry, what was that, sister?
And that's the same thing for our Facebook page as well. So Kiki First, K-I-K-I-F as in Frank, E-R-S. You should be able to find us on Google, on Facebook, on Instagram. I haven't heard or anybody else having that Kiki First name out there. And just as Brother Henry was saying, Brother A. Donahue Baker can give all his information. I know I wrote down bankmoneyav.com, and I was checking out the website myself, but yes, sir, Brother Baker can give all his information as well.
Yep,
yes,
absolutely. So you can find, well, number one, sign up for the bank, right? You can sign up at bankmoneyav.com, but if anyone has any questions or if they want to reach out to me, I'm at on all social media platforms. You can reach out to me personally at A. Donahue Baker, and it's A. D. O. N. A. H. U. E. Baker, B. A. K. E. R. So A. Donahue Baker on all platforms. I actually have a YouTube channel as well that has like videos, educational videos. I always try to record something to enlighten and kind of share information, share knowledge. I do that on all platforms, but a lot of people seem to like the YouTube videos that I put out. I'm always just giving value wherever, looking to help entrepreneurs, looking to really help young people really understand the importance and power of business. So that's one thing. And I'm excited
about the Geekophers Academy. One thing that we're looking to do is, as their mission, my goal is to help them really permeate our community and bring that academy to a national platform. I think it's phenomenal what they're doing and what they're pouring into young people, and I want to make sure that more and more young people can have access to the input and the value, really, that they're offering through the Geekophers Academy.
Yeah. Well, okay, there's one thing I want to talk to the banker about. When I heard the name that you use, I thought immediately about PayPal and Cash App. I really am disgusted. I don't use PayPal and Cash App anymore. Do you provide such services through your bank?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, those are competitors as well. So what we do through everything that both of those companies do, we do, right? PayPal, Cash App. If you need to transfer money, we do the same thing. I mentioned earlier before that we even go a step beyond where we do merchant processing, which allows people to have a business for business accounts. We have the capability for whatever. Let's say you have a website. Instead of using PayPal or Cash App or Square, you can use your business bank account to accept credit cards, right? And you would actually be saving more money. So for more established businesses, one of the things we do, and we do this free of charge, by the way, we will look at your statement and show you how we can save money for you. So a lot of businesses, I know a lot of restaurants in our community, they accept credit cards, and they don't realize that, you know, we're saving them hundreds, sometimes even thousands of dollars every single month just because we are able to charge lower fees, right? The interchange fees, much lower than what you're going to get from PayPal or Square or one of those other merchant processors.
Okay, Brother Carlton.
I knew you were going to call me. Yes, sir. I will follow up on that, Dr. Ridgely.
Thank you so much, Brother Carlton. You caught it. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
We believe. Fast thinking right up to the Martin Town. I think the Martin Town just walks in the door. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, sir.
Okay, but Brother Henry, I just want to let you know we're down to the last 2 minutes. We had, we had a flurry of calls. We had three people, but we do not have enough time to get them in on. So we're down to the last minute and a half, and now we have just enough time for closing statements.
Okay, we'll bring y'all back in a couple of weeks. We'll bring y'all back in a couple of weeks, okay? Go ahead, Brother Henry.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. So I was going to say
just
that.
Thank you all. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that if anybody has any questions, please email the school. And then I don't know if Brother Baker gave his email address, but please email us and we'll get any questions answered that we can. And if Brother Baker can give his email, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't mind getting some questions answered as well. So that was geekophersacademy@gmail.com. And thank you all for having us.
Thank you,
yeah,
sister. Thank you, brothers, for coming on, too. I appreciate it, Brother Henry. When you told me you had a jewel to drop on me, I was shocked. So, Brother Carlton, you want to go ahead and close us out?
Yes, sir. All right. Well, once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to Time to Leave on Blog Talk Radio Show. We had another exciting show hosted by this. And this, you would never think this is Brother Dwayne's first show. Thank you very much, Brother Dwayne. And we hope this won't be your last one.
Assalamu alaikum. Well, alaikum salam, sir.
These ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel,
uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you to be my new force of truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into Ripley, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to dream.